Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. Now, Sam, first things first, put your elbow out for me. Just put that elbow out. That is a red card. Violent conduct. Three-game ban. Get out of here. Get out of here. Hold on, wait a minute, wait a minute. Let's look at it again and again and again. Yes, it's still a red card. Still violent conduct and still a three-game ban for Mr. Thomas Souček. Tell me what the hell that was all about.
I can't. Honestly.
The game has gone. Officially, it's gone.
I said on my Insta reactions last night, I genuinely don't think, and this is a big shout because there's been some ridiculous ones, but I don't think I've ever seen anything so ridiculous in football.
One of my favourite moments in that, and by the way, it was Mike Dean, so you know immediately if he goes over to the monitor, he can't wait to theatrically get the red out. One of my favourite moments was Mitrovic having fallen down like he'd been shot, getting up, realising that there could be a red here for Souček and going, I'm fine. It might be a yellow, but it's fine. Still goes to the monitor, still looks and still sends him off. I couldn't believe it. I genuinely couldn't believe it.
But the thing is, as I said to you last night when we was debating the ins and outs of this, as soon as the VAR man says to Mike Dean, you should go to the monitor and have a look.
You're like, why?
We are. But it immediately puts in the ref's mind that I have made a mistake.
Yeah. I've got to do something about this.
And
now,
you send a ref to look at something thinking, I've got this wrong.
Yeah.
And therefore, they are looking for the fault.
Yeah.
If you send somebody over to look at a monitor, if as par of the course in VAR reviews, the VAR is reviewing it and the ref looks at it at the same time, you're not getting the same prejudiced view. The refs are prejudiced as soon as they get sent to the monitor, not through any fault of their own. Mike Dean's at fault, but it's not his fault that he's been told to go and look at it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, there we go. Well, listen, West Ham are appealing it, of course. There's a pretty good chance it's going to get rescinded, but that doesn't help us as FPL managers.
If it doesn't get rescinded, I'm never watching football again.
It doesn't help us as FPL managers who had to take the L and get the big fat zero.
Not only that,
for Thomas Souček at the weekend.
At 11:30 on Friday night, when we went to bed.
Here comes a DCL sob story.
At 11:30, well, at 29 minutes past 11 on Friday night, Dominic Calvert-Lewin was in my starting 11 and Souček was on my bench. And then I decided, after a conversation with somebody.
You should listen to me. You haven't listened to me for 3 years. Why would you listen to me now?
I don't know. I hate myself. I hate myself for it. I allowed you to get inside my head.
I still think, having replayed everything, benching Dominic Calvert-Lewin for Souček. I did it as well.
You deliberately dragged me into this warren hole with you, didn't you?
Listen, Fulham have won once at home all season. They've been diabolical.
Don't
and that's against West Brom.
Me.
Terrible in the air. Man United, all right, decent. You can't expect Calvert-Lewin to go
and
get a double point.
I played three West Ham players. One of them was my captain. Did you see how bad they were?
All right.
The only saving grace was Aaron Blimmin Creswell again.
All right, there we go. Well, bring it down an octave, Sam. Bring it down an octave, because
you
won't be the only one that has benched Dominic Calvert-Lewin this weekend.
No, you have as well.
In favour of Souček. I have. I'm listening to the chat. I'm seeing the chat. A lot of people subbing players. And we're feeling that, guys, because that is... I'm seeing that as a theme now. I'm seeing that as a theme now, that a lot of points are getting benched. And that is because we've all got a ton of budget sitting around. We're not having to bench Kilman, Mitchell and Bissouma anymore. We're benching Souček, Calvert-Lewin, Diaz. I benched Diaz this week. I mean,
so
what's all that about?
I benched Diaz.
Crazy, you shouldn't be doing that. But anyway, there's loads of people with loads of points on the bench, and it's because we've got tons of money sitting around, guys. But there is a double game week on the horizon.
Two.
Game week 23, and then a smaller but more, you know, just
24.
As perfectly formed Leeds and Southampton double in 25 as well, right? So 24 coming up, 25 the double game week, the two double game weeks coming up. We will, of course, be talking about those as we go through the games and we react to game week 23. Welcome, guys. This is our game week 23 review video, but we will be spending a lot of time looking ahead to what's coming, because two quite important double game weeks coming up. And if you haven't got Dominic Calvert-Lewin, he's hitting a bit of form just in time for his double game week, isn't he? Just in time for his double game week. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam. Let's see who is
Has my red card been rescinded, by the way?
What, the Souček? Oh, you're allowed none of your red card.
Or am I still on a free match ban?
Hold on, I'm going to just take another look at it. This is not good for the podcast, so the podcast this is, but I'm making the VAR, so I'm going to have another look at it. Otherwise, and yes, I've still decided it's a red card. I'm sorry,
Sam. You're
doing
this on your own for the next 3 weeks, are you?
It is still a red card, yes. I'm going to maybe look at it one more time. Yes, still a red card, even though it's a complete, it's just a complete accident. It's a complete accident from Suchet. I just don't get it. Absolutely crazy.
I literally love the pundits, though. All the pundits are just like, what is it? And in every other game, even today, every pundit that's been on any game today has been like, what was that?
Absolutely crazy. FPL Time is here. How are we doing, FPL Time? We've got Mark Dorney. Hey, Mark, how are we doing? Very nice to see you. Must be happy with Mr. Harry Kane back on the pitch.
He's one of our own.
Absolutely transformed Spurs. Now, listen, West Brom at home, okay.
Can't wait to talk about this game later. Can we go there first?
Well, we might go there first, but there's a fair amount of Band-Aid ripping that I need to do from Anfield today. I need to get some stuff off my chest with that game because that was not good from Liverpool at all today, at all. But came back, Spurs performing again. I tell you what, guys, it's incredible, the mentality at that football club. Because for 3 weeks, or for 3 games at least, no good. Absolute no performances throughout the whole team. Kane comes back, and all right, he played well, but he played like he was, you know, needed a bit more of a rest potentially. But the rest of the team went, all right, well, now we believe again. It was crazy. We'll come to the game in a minute. Niraj Sharma's in. Hey, Niraj, nice to see you. FPL Geordie saying, you feeling okay, Lee? FPL Geordie, no, I'm not, mate. No, I'm not. It's been a terrible week. I've had a terrible FPL week. We'll talk about our scores a bit later on. I've had a massive red arrow this week, way below par. And of course, what happened at Anfield has put me in a very bad mood as well. But of course, I've got to put a brave face on. We're here for FPL family. We're here just to chat football.
Well, what do you mean we? I'm suspended.
Yeah,
you're on your own.
Talk on my own. Yeah, this is why we do it, Geordie, right? We come here and we just talk about it. I don't really want to spend... I've had a red arrow in FPL, it's just the Suchek thing and the benching Calvert-Lewin. It's just stupid, right? I've just made bad decisions. Antonio captain, bad decisions. But the Liverpool thing has wrangled me, but I want to talk about it a bit later on. MU Fan TV, glad to be here. Yes, very nice to see you, MU Fan TV.
He's another one that will need some counselling after last night's episodes.
I would have thought so. 95th minute equaliser from Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Sonny Forsberg is here. Nice to see you, Sonny. A new patron of ours, Sonny. Very nice to see you. Welcome on board to FPL Family Patron. Matt D is here. Azzy is in. How are we doing? Very nice to see you. D Productions is in. How are you doing, D? Jacob 17. How are we doing, Jacob? Very nice to see you. UK Vapor, Otto, Nick, Moshi, and Zach Twyman all in. Evening, Zach says. Liverpool title only lasted for one season. Yeah, listen, I've had plenty of that from my mates over on WhatsApp, Zach. You don't need to go on about that. But it is looking increasingly like Liverpool are out of the title race. I tell you, based on what I saw today.
Is anyone in it apart from City?
Absolutely out of it. I don't see it now, to be honest. I don't see it. What do you think? I think City walk away with it now, to be honest with you.
I don't know. Let's see what Spurs do to them.
They're missing... Oh, shut up, Spurs. they're missing so many key players and they are still looking incredible, City. It's amazing.
By that, I didn't mean that we could win the league because I still don't believe that. I don't believe that was ever a thing, but we might beat them next week and then that might open the doors again.
It might
for do. Man City, Man United, who else is there? Leicester.
It might do, but I'm not convinced.
Everyone behind them is just dropping points. Leicester, Man United.
Well, this is it. Who would have thought Leicester
were Chelsea trying to score own goals.
Leicester get a draw to Wolves. You know,
it was poor as well, that game.
Poor game. You know, Man United dropping to Everton, where they really shouldn't be. You know, it's City are the ones that look great. So, yeah, I think it's theirs to lose. But listen,
they've got him to come back.
Listen, it's a funny old season, isn't it? It's a funny old season.
It's a funny old world.
You would say... What if
Aston Villa win all their fixtures remaining?
Well, you could have sat here a couple of weeks ago when De Bruyne was, you know, playing himself into our FPL teams and gone, well, if he gets injured, well, maybe then they slip up. But they just haven't. And in particular, Foden, I thought, really impressed me today. Sky gave him man of the match,
yeah,
rightly so.
Next week.
Great goal, really, really good. Probably going to be on the bench next week, you're absolutely right. But he looked very, very good indeed. In fact, he was third for BPS this week in midfielders. Almiron at the top, would you believe? Then Gundogan with 45 and Foden. Actually, 45 for Foden as well. He and Gundogan joint for BPS. So
should
Almiron.
Should have been a Bednarek
goal. Yeah, quite possibly. But the City boys and Sterling, by the way, in fourth with 35. So listen, the Man City boys absolutely boshing the BPS as well. No doubt about it. Jacob 17 is in. Bossman 525. James Ward is here. And a whole host of you guys. So thank you very much for joining us here on FPL Family. There's the Twitter on the left-hand side, at FPL Family. You can also find us on Instagram,
yes,
at FPL Family
can.
As well. And if you search on Facebook for FPL Space Family, you'll find our Facebook page over on the old Facebook as well.
It's getting close to 1,000 followers on Facebook, you know.
1,000 on Facebook?
Nearly.
Do we get a prize or something? What happens at 1,000 on Facebook? Does the world implode?
I think I might do some sort of competition.
What? Some sort of giveaway for 1,000 Facebook.
Thinking about it, yeah.
Get over to Facebook, guys. Follow us, like the Facebook page. There might be a competition.
I don't know what I'm going to give away yet.
I don't know. You've said it now, so you've got to do it.
I'm going to have a little think about it.
All right.
It's taken us... I mean, how long have we had the Facebook page now?
I don't know. A
couple of seasons.
I don't know.
About 850. So I think when we get over 900, I'll have a little think about what the prize could be for 1,000 followers.
All right. Very good. Okay, well, let's get on to tonight's games. Of course, Sam, there is still a game going on as we speak, and you guys will keep us up to date with what's going in the Sheffield United and Chelsea game. Thomas Tuchel's first goal that he's conceded as a Chelsea manager was a horrendous own goal by Tony Rudiger, the guy that has played, you know, the most minutes, I think, under Tuchel so far, and he's put a hideous own goal past Mendy. But fair play to Chelsea, gone straight up the other end, and I think it was Werner again who's winning the penalty, wasn't it? So
yeah.
Two assists now for Werner in that game. So keep an eye, guys, keep us up to speed in the live chat with what's going on at Bramall Lane between Sheffield United and Chelsea. I need to get this. We need to start here. I know you want to start with Spurs, but I was only joking about wanting to start with Spurs. We just need to get it off my chest and just talk about it. Lackluster. Have they given up? Could have been more than four goals. There was very, very little to like about that Liverpool performance today, in my opinion. And I'll tell you what, that first half, I thought City gave Liverpool too much respect. They came to Anfield and they thought, oh, this is a place where we don't like coming. It's historically been a bad ground for us. You know, this is a big game in our title push. And the first 45 minutes went through very, very cautiously with both teams giving each other plenty of respect. Now, Fabinho, typical sort of centre midfielder foul on Sterling. Although Sterling goes past Trent like he's not even there. It is a penalty.
Yeah.
Gundogan misses it. And actually Liverpool, lucky to be honest with you, to be going in level at half-time. So I don't know what was said at half-time, but I would imagine in the Man City dressing room it was words to this effect. Stop giving this Liverpool team so much respect. You are the better team. Go out there and win this game. It's there for the taking. And the same could have been said for any number of opponents at Anfield over the last few weeks. If you think about Manchester United when they came to Anfield, should have won. You think about Spurs, I know you end up losing that game, but should have got something out of that game for sure.
So annoyed I was.
And now City, they come to Anfield, and to be honest with you, all right, we can point to the Alisson mistakes, we can point to his head's gone maybe on the second one or whatever, but don't beat around the bush, guys. Don't get misunderstand me. Liverpool deserved to get better today, and it could have been more.
So okay.
It could have been more.
So talk to me about Robertson then, because you still own Robertson.
Yeah.
Having been speaking for weeks about this, and I appreciate that you went into this game on the back of two decent results against Spurs and then West Ham.
Yeah.
But I said at the beginning of, well, weeks ago, that I just didn't see any value in the defenders. Now, a lot of people still own them. There's like 20% still on Trent, 18% still on, other way around. 18% still on Trent, 20% odds still on Robertson, plus obviously some on the keeper. For me, there's a conversation to be had about the forward guys if you own them. But these defenders, there's absolutely zero to like about them right now.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, I think if I really needed the money for other things, I'd have downgraded him ages ago. But at the moment, he's got a reprieve in my team because I've just wanted to do other things,
right,
to be honest with you. Like I wanted to bring in some players this week for the double, right?
Yeah,
so I got Pope in and I got Bamford back in because I swallowed my pride on that. And I think you need him for not just tomorrow's game, but the double coming up as well.
Mm.
And I desperately, desperately wanted rid of Che Adams, who's been in my team for ages doing nothing. So I wanted rid of him, and there was just other things that I wanted to do. So Robbo got a reprieve. And last week, I didn't get rid of him because it's Brighton at home. So I'm thinking, well, you know, potentially there's a clean sheet there. And then I'm not getting rid of him for the previous two games because all of us, we'd beaten West Ham and Spurs. I'm thinking, well, all right, Højbjerg isn't going to score like that many times again. And West Ham got a consolation goal, which was, you know, absolutely avoidable. So for the last sort of three or four game weeks, now listen, I absolutely could have got rid of him before that. But for the last sort of two or three game weeks, I'm thinking, well, maybe I just, you know, are we hitting form? Have we a bit of fit form? It's Brighton at home. I want to do other things. I've found excuses, really, to not get rid of him. But now, I think,
I was going to say,
is
so
the time.
So now, surely, I mean, you've got Leicester next week. Surely now is the moment to just get rid.
Yeah, almost certainly. Yeah, almost certainly.
Because, you know, you're like me at the moment. You still sit villainous at the back.
Yeah.
And it kills.
Their clean sheets are hurting.
Every single week, it's painful.
Yeah.
It is painful. And, you know, you watch them and, of course, Martinez is doing what Martinez has been doing now for pretty much the entire season. But you look at that back line as well with the likes of Target and Cash and Konza. And all of them, you're looking at thinking, well, that's a way of covering the Martinez stuff. They often get bonus points. There's some attacking potential there as well for those guys. And they're like 2 million cheaper than Robertson. Now, I know you don't need the money.
Mm.
But for me, it's not really about needing the money. It's about
could,
the fact...
Could you say the same with Salah, though? Could say the same with Salah. I'm holding on to him as you are. A lot of others are holding on to him. Because, yeah. Not just because, but primarily... If we needed the money, surely Salah would have gone a long time ago. But none of us, you know, no FPL manager really needs the money right now.
I don't know.
So he gets that reprieve.
I think also with Salah, though, and I might be wrong, but from my opinion on Salah, is that he has a fear factor for me in not owning him.
Right.
In that, okay. you know, there's always that moment where he can just have games like he did against Crystal Palace. He can just have games like he did against... Who else was it a couple of weeks ago? West Ham?
Yeah, a couple of goals against West Ham. Yeah,
where he can just do that. And if you don't own him, it really hurts because...
Mm. Even today, 7 points, right? So yeah. Don't sniff at it. Yeah,
and it hurts your rank, right? So I think there is a bigger question at play when it comes to Salah because he's owned by more of the game. And therefore, if you take him out and he gets one or two goals, it affects your rank quite badly. Whereas with Robertson and Trent, the clean sheets aren't there. Now, I know you've bought these two new guys at centre-back, and of course they're going to come in at some stage, and you would hope that that would make the defence more stable. But we've seen with Liverpool, and I'm interested in your opinion on this, but for me, these guys, even if he throws them in against Leicester next week, Liverpool, the whole squad is about trust, right?
Mm.
We've seen that over the last... Well, since Van Dijk got injured, that if there's no trust in the players that are around... Robbo and Trent don't go. There's a kind of a muddle of what's happening. People don't really know what they're doing. And so even with these two new guys arriving, I don't see there's value in Robertson and Trent for a little while yet. Maybe in 3 or 4 weeks' time when the centre-backs are solid, they've trained together, they've worked together, they know what they're doing, might be a difference, particularly then when you get Fabinho and Hendo back in the midfield in front of them and there's some more structure.
But Trent today, I mean, we talked about Robbo there because he's in my team, so I get that. But Trent today looks so far off it. I've never seen a player give Trent or Trent give a player an easier time than Sterling today. Sterling had the beating of him every single time. Every single time. He was just, Trent was all over it. Now, here's my opinion of something that I've thought for a couple of weeks now, and I really don't want to think it, because when he came to our club in the summer, I thought this guy is going to be a complete game changer for us. He's going to take us to new levels. But Thiago is not working in this side right now. Thiago is not working in this side. He is... do you see him today, right? A yellow card after 2 minutes. So, and he's done that before. On his debut, he did it. I can't remember where that was.
He took Harry Kane out the other week.
And he's got this little aggressive streak in him.
Yeah,
now, that's fine. That's fine. There's a lot of players with aggressive streaks in them that use it well. But you don't dive in 2 minutes in and then play the rest of the game on tenterhooks. And that was his problem then, after being booked, was, I guess, especially against a high-energy side like City and a skillful team like City, he's playing sort of half-heartedly then the whole game because he's worried about getting sent off. And, of course, then Klopp hooks him, I think, on about the hour or just after the hour for Shaqiri. And I'm like, well, and at the time the commentators were saying, well, you can't bring off Thiago. I'm like, of course you can. He's looked absolute rubbish. And because he plays on tenterhooks the whole time, he slows the game down. He gets the ball and he passes it sideways, has a look up, and there's no movement in that front three because that's a separate problem we can come to in a second if you want. But he picks that ball up and he doesn't get his head up quick enough. And he ends up just passing it sideways or passing it backwards. Now, I don't know enough about German football, but I would guess in the Bundesliga, Thiago gets time, space, he can get his head up, he can do whatever he wants, and he's the maestro. He sits in the middle of that pitch and he's got all the time in the world to think about what he's going to do.
Mm.
You don't get that in the Premier League. Never mind against Man City, against anyone, you don't get that in the Premier League.
No.
You don't get 10 seconds even to get your head up and think about it. It's instinctive. And the best players in the Premier League are those that play on instinct and play quickly and tie tempo. Thiago does not play at the tempo that we need him to play right now.
I think, yeah. I mean, I think you've said it for weeks and weeks now that it's more than it is a... more than it is a personnel problem, it's a mental thing. In that last season, they were a unit, and you were lucky with injuries last season. You didn't have many serious ones, so it was mostly the same team. They knew each other inside out, exactly where they'd be, and they trusted each other to be in that position to cover. So Trent and Robbo would go, and Trent and Robbo going, this leads into the front three, made a big impact on the front three because that basically then became a front five.
But injuries and system, I'm over that now. But it's not injuries and systems anymore. No. You can't get beat 4 by City and should have been 5 or 6 because of injuries and system.
No.
There was just a lack of being asked out there today, which was what got me.
See, I don't know if it's that, Lee. I think it's more to do with the fact that they're not playing for each other at the minute. There's not a team spirit there. It's exactly what happened to Spurs when Kane wasn't there. There's a lack of kind of belief in the system and in themselves and in each other. They weren't playing for each other. And we saw that today. There was a fear amongst that Liverpool team today. There was no drive in them to go for it.
Yeah. I think they've given it up in the league, by the way.
I think they've given it up.
But now they've got to fight for top four, right? Because if we don't get top four, that's a big, big problem. Anyway, enough about Liverpool. Man City, great again, right? Great again. And if you've got Gundogan, all right, he missed the penalty. I don't know whether he's going to take the next one or not, I guess.
He made a joke of it, though, didn't he, on Twitter?
Oh, did he? What did he say?
He came out and said, somebody told me it was NFL night, and if I got it over there. Like, and you think, yeah.
He wouldn't have made that joke if they'd have dropped points,
well,
right?
But... No, he wouldn't have. But Pep came out and said something like, Pep's after the match said something like, I might let Edison take the next one. Why does he say this all the time? And why is it always right before a double game week that he does this?
The thing with City is that they can't seem to get their penalty takers right. They miss a lot of penalties. And if Edison is good at taking them, I don't know, stranger things have happened,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but you can't risk it, can you? You can't have your goalkeeper taking a penalty because if for any reason he misses, who the hell's in the goal?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if the keeper saves it, it comes off the post.
He's got to pelt it back.
Anyway, City look good. Gundogan, despite the penalty miss, gets the 2 goals. And again, right place, right time. Particularly that second here, his first one, which was his second. And
their third.
The one that came off the bar, what was that? His second goal.
Yeah.
Poacher, right place, right time. Absolutely where you want it, bombing into the box like that. Phenomenal.
The thing is with Gundogan, it's fascinating, isn't it? Because he is one of those players where, if he carries on like this, he's going to get 20 goals this season.
Yeah, he's absolutely... He's in the form of his life, right?
I think before
he's... This is not a young breaking through player like Foden.
No.
He's absolutely fine.
But I think in the past, it's normally like 6 he averages in a season. He's going to average 20 this year if he does it. Now, I think that what's really interesting for me is that somebody said it when I was on the pod with him the other week, that he's taken the David Silva role and made it his. So
yes.
Now,
yeah,
like, owning Gundogan feels almost like owning KDB, not in terms of the points returns, but in terms of the security you feel.
He's KDB-esque in the way that he goes about his business, though.
But you also feel like you're not... There's not a risk of rotation with him anymore. Like, you feel like Pep goes, right, score a team sheet today, Edison, Diaz, Gundogan. And then the rest he kind of plays around with.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
the structure and the spine is there. And I think when KDB comes back, it will still be Edison, Diaz, Gundogan and KDB. It will be the 4 of them. Because he's just been so, so solid and so good.
So tell me about the best assets then for the upcoming double game week. Because it's looking increasingly like, if you haven't already, that you should have 3 Man City players.
Wow.
And, of course, Sterling on the score sheet again. Foden had a fantastic game today. All right, they conceded the goal, but Diaz isn't going to make that many mistakes, right? And I must admit, up until the point he made that mistake, I thought he was absolutely superb, Diaz. Absolutely superb. Every time I've watched a City game, I've looked at him, and he is a proper Rolls-Royce of a defender, in my opinion. And he's making somebody like John Stones look good. Now, I'm not saying John Stones isn't good, but I'm just saying next to Diaz, he is looking absolutely sensational. If you'd have said, and they said this in commentary, if you'd have said City's back four going to Anfield in the second half of the season will be Cancelo, Diaz, Stones and Zinchenko, you'd have gone, ooh, what? Ooh, that's got a couple of goals for Liverpool in that. You'd have said, well, they'll concede plenty of goals. But the four of them have made that back four their own. They look great.
I mean, I must admit, I love Onan Diaz. He is a...
Picks up the BAPs like you wouldn't believe as well, doesn't he? Not this week, admittedly, but no, in previous weeks.
I mean, I benched him this week because I thought Liverpool might put up a fight. And I've sort of... I mean, I got it right because Salah scored, but I got it wrong in terms of what I thought Liverpool would do.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy Onan Diaz. What's really interesting for me going into this double game week is what you do about Man City, because I, as a Diaz Gundogan owner, I am now in a place where...
Ah, you've still got a Man City slot to play with, haven't you? Yeah.
So I'm like looking at it thinking, well, where do I go with it? Because it's Spurs and Everton. Spurs, we can talk about in a minute, haven't been on very good form. However, big change today.
Mm.
Big change today. Now, I'm not for one minute suggesting that that big change is going to result in Man City losing that game. But I'm also not convinced Man City keep a clean sheet against us. They don't usually.
Okay.
And so that somewhat puts me off, particularly with Everton finding their form going forward as well. It somewhat puts me off the double up at the back.
Is it the Etihad or is it Spurs Stadium?
It's at Spurs, isn't it?
Okay, let's have a look.
Check.
Let's have a look. Go on.
Actually, we were at home today, so it might be away. But we, I think what's... Those two games, on paper, to me anyway, feels like...
It's at the Etihad.
It's at the Etihad. Feels like games where I want to go with two attackers.
Okay.
So then it's a quandary, isn't it? Jesus was benched today. Foden played well today. I'm not going Mahrez. I could go Sterling. But all of these guys that I'm talking about bringing in will be players that I probably won't keep post game week 24.
Mm. Cancelo is basically a midfielder anyway. I mean, he's at it again today, wasn't he? I know he's not in the FPL points, but he's all over the place.
Because if I bring... So the reality of my thinking at the moment is, like, yes, I could go for Foden. Absolutely, I could. But who do I take out then? I've probably got to take out Suchek, who's not now going to have a three-match ban, I wouldn't have thought.
Well, we'll come to that in a bit. I personally think that might get upheld, actually. But listen, it's Mike Dean, and funnier things have happened. But go on, Foden, yes, potentially.
So Foden, yes, potentially, but the reality is I can't go Sterling because I want to bring in Kane for the week after.
Yeah.
So I can't go Sterling because that's going to be an in-out and cost me points. I don't want to do that. So it probably is going to end up being Cancelo at the back.
Mm-hmm.
Or I just go with two.
Yeah.
Which is where I'm at the minute.
Yeah. Well, Diaz and Gundogan look absolutely fantastic assets, and I'm very happy to have Cancelo as well. Those will be my three going into next week.
That's the thing. I've got two transfers going into this double, but we've also got a prep for game week 25, which is a double, and we've got a prep for game week 26, which is going to be a bigger double.
Okay.
So I don't want to waste my transfers.
Sure. All right. Well, listen, the less said from a Liverpool perspective about that game, the better. I'm very happy to move on. Let's move back into Saturday before we come back to Sunday. This game, which is a cracking game, actually, at Manchester United. Man U 3, Everton 3. Fernandes with an absolute belter of a goal.
a belter of a goal.
And, of course, the wing-backs getting on their score sheet as well, from an assist perspective as well. Both Shaw and Wan-Bissaka with an assist apiece. So we'll come to Everton in a second. But Manchester United, where do you want to add to Fernandes? How are you feeling about adding in a Shaw or a Wan-Bissaka or something like that?
It's hard, isn't it? Because I think I do quite like the idea, and I've toyed with the idea of a Manchester United defender for a couple of weeks now. It's been kind of playing out in the back of my mind.
Mm.
And Luke Shaw's always the one I come back to because I don't want to be in a biscuit tin. And I do quite like Harry Maguire, but I think I prefer Luke Shaw financially and in terms of attacking potential. But then Manchester United do things like this and concede three, and you kind of go... Nah.
Yeah, next two for Manchester United, though, are only single game weeks in 24 and 25. But it's West Brom away in 24 and then Newcastle at home in 25. Yeah. So but it's
Callum
like,
Wilson probably less Newcastle.
Probably, because he's pinged a little hamstring, isn't he, Callum Wilson? So all of a sudden their goal threat goes down significantly.
You know?
Well, Albion had a very, very good game, no doubt about it. But I'm looking at those two Manchester United games and The clamour will be for double game week, as in both of those game weeks, understandably. Well, but could you put a Shaw or a Wan-Bissaka in there? Because, I mean, they're great assets and the fixtures are fantastic. Now, after that, in 26, it's Chelsea. Of course, that might change depending on what happens in the FA Cup, but it's Chelsea away. Then it's the Manchester Derby in 27 with Man City, and then West Ham at home in 28. So after these two doubles, it gets a little bit more difficult for Manchester United, but you're not going to sell Bruno ahead of any of those, I don't think.
You can't sell Bruno. Whatever happens, you can't. I think the question is more, do you double up or do you invest a bit more in Manchester United? And I think the trouble with Manchester United is that, and we said this when we were in and around game week 19, that there will be teams that you look at on paper and think, I should invest in them, but you don't, because the double game weeks are coming. And we know which teams have got doubles in 24 and 25 now. Hopefully in the next week or so, we're going to know about game week 26, because that's supposed to be our big double game week, where they start to clear some chunks of games that we've got waiting.
Sure.
And obviously there's going to be a load of teams that don't play twice. So we need to, and this is why I'm going to try and hold my transfer as much as I can this week, for as long as possible, because obviously what happens in the FA Cup will have a knock-on impact upon what happens moving forward in terms of who gets rescheduled and where they get rescheduled. So, yes, I like the look of Manchester United. Yes, I like the look of the defence, even having conceded three against Everton, because the attacking returns are there and the fixtures look okay for clean sheets. But I just need to wait and see what happens this week, I think.
Okay, all right. And as the guys in the live chat quite rightly saying, don't look too much, Lee, into that Wan-Bissaka assist, because he did just pass it to Bruno.
It was fluke.
And Bruno absolutely dealt with it. It was a great goal.
If you're going to go, it's going to be Luke Shaw, surely.
You would think so. Because every time I've seen Alex Tellers playing a Manchester United shirt, I've been distinctly unimpressed. And whenever I've seen Shaw, I've been very impressed, to be honest with you. So I think Shaw is his main man at the moment. But with the amount of games coming up, does he play Tellers in the FA Cup? That will be a key, won't it? If we see Tellers in the FA Cup, then potentially we see Shaw in the Premier League. Let's see. Everton, for their part, Calvert-Lewin, like I mentioned before, hitting a nice bit of form. James Rodriguez with a goal as well. Goal and assist for Doucouré, although I don't think any of us are going to be looking to bring in Doucouré anytime soon.
Well,
he did have that little spell at Watford where he was pretty much essential, wasn't he? Was it Doucouré? It was Doucouré, wasn't it?
I don't think anyone has ever said that Doucouré is essential.
No, you're probably right. But Dominic Calvert-Lewin, ahead of a game week in 24, which looks like this, Fulham and Manchester City at home. We've already seen at the weekend there where Everton can score against the bigger sides. Going to be, you'd think more difficult to score against that Man City back line. But two home games for Calvert-Lewin. Is he captainable, in your opinion, in game week 24?
He's currently wearing my armband.
He's got your bus armband, has he? Yeah, I must admit.
It's the Fulham game that swung it for me. Because I look at Manchester City, and don't get me wrong, I think they'll probably win both games. However, I look at them and think, Spurs, Everton, they're not easy. Fixtures, right?
No.
That doesn't mean that they can't smash us or Everton. Of course it doesn't, particularly if they play half as well as they did today in the second half. They were excellent. If they play like that again against Spurs and Everton, then there's always potential that they get a big score. However, Spurs have been all right defensively this season. We're not being conceding a lot of goals. Everton, bit hit and miss on that front, to be honest. And we don't know if Pickford will be back or if it'll be Olsen again. I mean, to be honest, it's bad either way. But with Everton, that Fulham fixture, now I was impressed by Fulham this week, and we can talk about them in a minute, but I think that's the fixture that's got potential written all over it for people like DCL and James Rodriguez.
Do you not think for DCL, though, it's the Fulham game plus 2 points for the City game?
I do think that, yeah, but I also think that there's potential that, so I could go Gundogan. Do I think Spurs will score in that game? Yes.
Okay.
Which means I'm not going to captain one of the City defenders. Now, I know that you could do Cancelo because of the attacking potential.
Sure, yeah.
I get that.
But you could easily be rotated, right? You could miss a game.
You could, and they're quick. I only have Diaz. I'm not going to captain Diaz. So I'd be looking at captaining Gundogan again. Now, I'm not opposed to doing that. He's my vice at the moment. But do I think the potential upside for Calvert-Lewin is greater against Fulham and Man City? Or Spurs and Everton for Gundogan?
Okay.
I think it's I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin has got the greater upside.
So if you're thinking Dominic Calvert-Lewin for captaincy, you can't therefore be thinking I want Cancelo as well and doubling up with that Man City defence.
No, which is why I don't want... That's why I think
which is why you're hesitating about that. Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Okay, so Manchester United 3, Everton 3. Plenty of bones to pick for in that game. Another game, you mentioned Fulham a second ago. Let's do this game briefly because, to be honest, the Souček thing... I don't think we can really talk about that until we understand whether the red card is going to be rescinded or not and he's going to either get this ban or not.
If he gets a 3-match ban, we have to sell him.
You do. Yeah, you probably do. There's a pretty good chance that he comes back into our teams at some stage later in the season, but you can't not have him for 3 games, can you?
I'll just get Ross Barkley instead.
Yeah, you just switch him. I'm thinking Rafinha if he's out. But,
oh, yeah, because of the double.
Yeah, but listen, I think he would be really, really unlucky to get that. But I do think that he will get it. I do.
You see, I think it's a travesty if he does when they look back on it. And I think West Ham are right to appeal it. And I think it'll be a disgrace to football if he doesn't get rescinded. However, the fact that VAR was involved in this decision, it will make VAR a joke.
Whoever overturns that decision and says, no, you don't get the ban... is a brave man.
Well, you're making
because
you're
making he or she is basically saying VAR's wrong. Mike Dean, you got it wrong. And also the guy, is it Craig? Was it Lee Mason who was in Stockley Park and VAR? So he's a fairly senior referee as well. So you're saying right? So the VAR system and the two fairly senior referees, Mike Dean, the most senior referee, I would argue in the Premier League, you got that wrong. That's difficult. And on that basis, I don't think it'd be overturned. But listen, we need to wait for the outcome of that because West Ham have appealed it.
I don't know when we'll get that. Will we get that tomorrow?
Next couple of days, I guess. Next couple of days. Mm. But that aside, it was lacklustre from West Ham, wasn't it?
It was really disappointing.
I was a bit disappointed by it because actually, West Ham, I expected to go and give Fulham a bit of a game. They've looked very, very good. And I wonder whether that Villa game, that great result at Aston Villa, maybe took it out of them a little bit because they looked leggy. They looked lethargic. He pulled Antonio off on about 70 minutes, didn't he? And it's
Antonio sort of signalled to the bench, didn't he? As if to say, like, I'm not feeling it.
Well, he sort of held his hamstring, didn't he? And then sort of signalled to the bench, which is a bit of a concern.
And then they took him off. And so that's a bit of a concern. And that's another reason I'm pondering on what I do next. Because to be honestly, although I'm not planning to do Harry Kane yet, I know what's going to happen here. If Antonio gets ruled out and he isn't playing... You know full well that I'm doing Antonio to Kane this week, don't you?
It's going
to
happen.
You know it's going to happen because I'm looking for a way to get Kane in for the 26 double that we're likely to have. I want to triple captain him in that week. Spoiler alert. it's going to happen and I can feel it coming.
You're getting overcome with the Canes again, with the Canes. Second for shots, by the way. The Chelsea game, I haven't got the stats for the Chelsea game, which is now finished, by the way. 2-1. To Chelsea, full time, finished at Bramall Lane.
I tell you what, 2-1. Sheffield United.
They're done. They're absolutely done. They're
they
good.
Can't
it's
even.
Well
they get back to a draw and they can't even hold it for five minutes.
It's shocking. But Kane was, despite the ankle injury, despite me saying, you know, shouldn't be playing him, etc., second for shots overall in the game week. Madison with 6, Kane with 5. So Kane's second there. And then Watkins and Ings down at 4. So Kane getting in the shots. He's in and around it. But anyway.
But going back to West Ham.
Yes, go on.
I think, Antonio, I think... I actually thought Fulham played really well. I thought they managed the game really well.
Did you? I thought they played all right.
No, I don't. I think they played really well, Fulham. Okay. I thought the likes of Lookman, they were really energetic. They were engaged. They wanted it more than West Ham. And I think that's the thing. West Ham going forward just looked a bit lethargic.
So who have you got your eyes on from Fulham then? Because Fulham have got a double game week in 24. They've got Everton and Burnley away. Two tricky looking fixtures.
I'm not bringing in any of them.
Don't want to bring anybody in?
No, because I don't think so.
Lookman, maybe?
Maybe.
Okay.
But again, it goes back to, do I want... So I'm kind of in my head, I'm pondering on which players can I bring in that don't just have a double in... I don't want to bring someone in just because they've got a double in 25.
Okay.
It's not a big enough double to do that, in my view. I think it's one that you need to ponder on because with more doubles in 24, and with more doubles in 25 and then more doubles in 26 and a blank in 29, you have to be thinking about these transfers.
Save those transfers. And we will know more about 26 once the FA Cup is done.
Yeah, and 29.
We'll know more about it. A super chat from Gurev. Thank you, Gurev, for the super chat. He is saying, can do Foster and Mitchell to Pope and Mina or me. I think I'd go for me out of those two. But then you'd be double Burnley defence. But you can do that for free. Would you bench boost this? Martinez, Bamford, Dallas, Mina and me. Gurav, I don't know if we've got your whole team there, mate, but stick your whole team in the live chat and we can have a look at whether you'd bench boost. Oh, that would be his bench. Martinez, Bamford, Dallas... and Mina, stroke me. Yeah, you'd bench boost that, wouldn't
you? Who are they playing? Who's Aston Villa got?
Well, Aston Villa have got Brighton away, so that's not too bad a fixture. Then you've got Bamford and Dallas.
And who they got?
They've got Arsenal, by the looks of the ticker. Yeah, Arsenal away for Leeds. And then Ben Mee, who's on the double against Crystal Palace and Fulham, if indeed Gurav decides to go with Ben Mee.
That is bench boostable.
It does look it, doesn't it? Yeah, it does look it, I must admit. Yes, I think I probably would go around, would be the answer to that.
Yeah.
Although, having said that, again, all of those decisions, I think, can wait until the FA Cup is done. You know, more about game week 26, and then you can start to look at what your team might look like for 26. And then, once you know that, you'll get a feel for whether you should bench boost or not.
Particularly because, you know, you've got to wait with injuries because you've got big players for doubles.
Yes.
Playing in the FA Cup. If you lose one of them to injury, you need to be able to move on that.
Okay. Last word on Souček. If it is rescinded, will you keep him?
Yeah.
And if it's upheld, will you get rid of him for?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know who will come in. I really do like the look of Ross Barkley, and I'm that's one of my longer term picks because of all the doubles that they're going to have.
Okay. Very good. All right. Moving on swiftly, then let's have a look at Ross Barkley. Then let's have a look at Aston Villa 1, Arsenal 0. Again, reasonable game. Nothing for Grealish in this game, but another goal for Ollie Watkins. I think that's his now fifth return in six, if I'm not mistaken. Starting to look like the player that we all thought he might be at the beginning of the season. He's maybe found his feet a little bit in the Premier League. He's got into that team now. He's bulked up a little bit. He's fighting the fight a bit more.
Yes.
Looks good.
Sort of.
Right, you're not convinced.
Well, I mean, Arsenal pretty much gave him the goal. Didn't they?
It was a bit
like
of a howler.
It was a bit of a one, like, so yes, on paper, the stats look great, but there's been a few goals like that for him lately where I've kind of gone, yeah, okay, sort of right place, right time, as opposed to that you've actually been good, because I didn't see much from him in the rest of the game that worried me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, joint third for shots, as I mentioned before, Watkins, with Ings this game week. Grealish, incidentally, second in the game week for chances created, he and Moutinho on four apiece. So top, again, Grealish for chances created in this game. And again, I go back to the fact that although he got a yellow card in this game, nothing from an FPL perspective, he still looked good. He was still pulling the strings. Now, in this game, I think that he was asked to be a bit more defensively disciplined because they had Saka on that side for the majority of the game, Arsenal. So I think Dean Smith said to Grealish, well, look, do your thing where you can in terms of going forward, but just be aware that I want you to help out, I think yeah. It's Target on that side, isn't it, with Saka. And Arsenal, a lot of Arsenal's good stuff is going to come down that side. So I think Grealish played a little bit within himself and played a bit more defensively, but I don't think we're going to see that going forward. I think he'll go back to being really front and centre for their attack.
To be honest, Aston Villa are a team that... Sorry, Villa fans, if you're out there, but they're not... Like, when I watch them, I'm not inspired in terms of their attacking output. However, it is every single week. The consistency from them is unbelievable, both from a defensive point of view and from an attacking point of view. They seem to be able to get a goal even if they're not necessarily playing at full potential. Even against like West Ham, when they looked really off it, they still managed to get a couple of goals out of that game.
Yeah. They got a young... What I like about it, they're just young. They're hungry, this side. That wants to do well. That's what I like about it. He's got a group of them. We talked before about Liverpool not playing for each other, maybe Spurs not doing the same when Kane's not there, and that lack of belief. Well, this Aston Villa side, they want to play for each other. They're hungry for it. I love it.
Last season actually did them the world of good because I think it showed them what they need to do to be in the Premier League and to make it stick because they were so close to losing it last year. I think it's motivated them. Couple that with the buys that they've bought, the likes of Martinez and Ross Barkley and Ollie Watkins, and they have made a big difference to the side. They've fitted in nicely. They're playing as a team.
That says something about the mentality at the club, though, doesn't it? Because Ross Barkley's been a fairly average footballer at Chelsea for a long time. And now he's gone to Villa and he's looked great. Martinez has been second or third choice keeper at Arsenal for years, but suddenly he's the best in the league.
Yeah.
But it doesn't just happen.
No, it doesn't. But equally, like you said before, they're a young side. So Martinez, Barkley, they're senior players now in this team where they've got people that are looking up to them. Now, you're not telling me that Ross Barkley doesn't love that. That is the sort of thing that Ross Barkley blimmin' loves. And same with Martinez. He's been in Leno's shadow for years. Suddenly,
everyone's looking up to him.
I'm number one. The defence are loving you. Everyone's like talking about you. There's loads of hype. Those players breed off that. And because they're doing well as a result of it, the whole Aston Villa team is... It's getting to a point where I am going to have to take out players in my actual FPL side that I really like owning.
Yeah.
Because I have to bring in some Villa defenders, particularly, because it's killing me. It's like 20k every week.
I know. And as Pricey is saying, the Villa spine is great. Some great recruitment in key areas. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right about that. Let's see. We've got a super chat from Enjal Stortland. Thank you. Hopefully I've got your name right there. Enjal, when will you use your wild card? Have you got any initial thoughts about when you might use your wild card?
As soon as game week 29 kicks off, ahead of game week 30.
I think you're probably right. So you're looking to sort of, I hate this phrase, dead end it into, so play all your transfers up into 29, maximise that amazing game week that we're all expecting in game week 29, and then bang, game week 30, and then sort of set it up for the rest of the season.
If I had my free hit chip left, I would wildcard for game week 26 and I would get the most as I could out of the double game week.
Yeah, sure.
But for me, without a free hit chip to cover me for 29, I will dead end my team for 29, wildcard them all back in again for 30.
Okay, and there's a follow-up super chat from Abhishek. Thank you, Abhishek, for the super chat. Hi, guys. Good evening. Good evening, Abhishek. Apart from game week 24, 25, how many more double game weeks will there be until the end of this season, and when exactly? Well, listen, it is all still up in the air, but 24 and 25 definitely double game weeks. We are expecting game week 26 to be a fairly bumper double game week, but we don't know
who or when or how
until the FA Cup ties are done for this next round of the FA Cup. Now, thankfully, we've only got to wait a few days because the FA Cup is, I think, this midweek, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. So once this next round of the FA Cup is done, over the next 3 to 4 to 5 days, we will know. We'll have a far better understanding of what game week double game week 26 is going to like. There's a great Twitter account, if you guys are probably following it already, Ben Krellin on Twitter, @BenKrellin, CRELLIN, @BenKrellin. He's got a spreadsheet that maps all this stuff out. It's fantastic. And then subsequent to game week 26, we are expecting another double game week around or on game week 29.
Well, double game week 29 will be a single, it'll be blank game week 29. That's the next round of the FA Cup.
Oh, right, okay.
So we are expecting blanks around 29. And then there will, of course, then be some further double game weeks as we start to fit in fixtures that have been missed from COVID and other stuff. But they're likely to be littler ones, like one game week here, a bit like game week 25.
Yeah, the one for me is I'm looking at the games played column in the league.
Yeah.
And there are significantly Aston Villa, as I mentioned before, that they've got games to catch up. Now, we might not know where they are right now, but at some stage, if you've got a Grealish, you've got a Watkins, or if you've got a Martinez, just hold them, because at some stage they're going to have double game weeks coming out of nowhere. And another super chat from Gurav. Thank you, Gurav, for the super chat. The missus asked for my opinion this week, to which I made her do the following.
This is going to make me cringe, isn't it? I'm a bit worried about hearing this.
This is my favourite super chat. This is chewing me right up. So Gurav's missus said she wanted his opinion on her FPL team this week.
God.
And Gurav's advice was to bench Martinez. I don't know, we've not got to that yet. Bench Martinez, Foden, Justin, and DCL.
Oh my God!
And play Pope, Grealish, Robbo, and Cancelo.
No! Why?
Absolutely. That's divorce material there, Gurav, mate.
Please tell me she didn't do it.
Listen. Tune in next week to find out whether Gurav has been divorced from his wife.
Oh no, I need to know now.
There is still a...
Put it in the chat. You don't need to super chat again. Just put it in the chat. Please tell me she didn't do all of that.
So Gurav is sitting at 25k. His missus is at 350. So clearly she wanted Gurav's opinion. I called sabotage. That's sabotage.
That's
I'm
the sort
afraid.
Of thing you would do to me.
That's absolutely so the sort of thing I would do to you. Absolutely the sort of thing. So Aston Villa 1, Arsenal 0.
Oh, that's
nil.
Made me feel a bit...
Back-to-back defeats now for Arsenal.
Sorry, well, Arsenal, yeah.
Back-to-back defeats for Arsenal. So after this kind of wave that they were on, you know, Saka, Smith Rowe looking great, Odegaard coming in.
Yeah, but...
Positive, positive, positive. All of a sudden, Luiz sent off. Leno sent off. Defeat to Wolves.
Yeah, that
now
Wolves
defeat
game
to Villa.
Was big.
What's going on?
That Wolves game was big, I think. It was big. It was big in a number of ways. One, because they obviously lost Leno. That's key. Now, actually, I actually didn't think Matt Ryan had a bad game, to be fair. Thought he did all right.
Shows you how much he fancies the third choice keeper, Renarsson.
Well, what do you think? If you're Renarsson...
He is terrible.
Okay, now I've got more questions now. Oh. Because, so, all right. Why the hell are they selling Martinez if they don't want to play... I know that they've got other things.
Like, whole different podcast. Whole different podcast about that. Don't even go into it.
Anyway, all right. Doesn't fancy Renarsson. Fine. Plays Matt Ryan, who'd done one training session. Actually thought he did all right. David Luiz, say what you want about David Luiz and his ridiculous red cards. I think he's got the most red cards in the Premier League now or something ridiculous, hasn't he?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Something like that. I can't remember. There was a stat about it. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it's something to do with him and red cards. But he does that. The loss of people like that, him and Leno in that side, obviously in the Wolves game itself, was a problem because they were down to nine.
Yeah.
But going forward against an Aston Villa side who are decent, was never really going to be perfect, was it? It was never going to be a great way to go. And I thought that Arsenal looked a bit... meh.
Okay.
I thought Lacazette was a bit off it. I thought Pepe looked off it.
Has Pepe ever looked on it?
Yeah, but I thought Pepe was all right a couple of weeks ago. He had quite a decent game. And then,
what I will say is some of the stats here on the Fantasy Football Scout members area. If you're a member on Fantasy Football Scout, you can go and check out the members area. It's got all the stats up to date from what's happened in the game week in terms of players that have got the most touches in the opponent's half, players with the most tackles, players with the most aerial duels. If you're not a member in the Fantasy Football Scout website, go check out the link in the description below. Become a member over there. Some great stats in the members area. One of which is Mr. Saka, top for crosses this game week. By a long way, actually. Ward-Prowse, second with 11. Saka, 15 crosses this week. So
yeah,
there you go. That's
well and good being good at crosses.
No goals, though, right? So no one's on the
there.
End of them.
And that's my issue with Saka. I think Saka's a great player. I think Smith Rowe is a great player. I haven't seen a lot from now. Is it all now? How do you say his name? Because he said
the new loan signing.
Yeah.
Ødegaard.
No, but it isn't though.
Isn't it?
So he said, "I'm happy for the English people to call me Ødegaard, but it's actually I can't remember. It's like Ødegaard or something.
Okay, but it's not.
But anyway, whatever. I haven't seen enough from him just yet. But there's nobody that's finishing it, and it goes back to that again, doesn't it? Like Lacazette and Aubameyang. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Another super chat from, oh, goodness me. Some great names in the super chats tonight, guys. Apologies if I butcher this one as well. oh, wow. Tuthuko.
I hope that's right.
I don't know. Endluvu. Mr. or Mrs. Endluvu. That's a really tough name. I apologise for absolutely butchering that. But he or she is saying Hudson-Odoi is the new Mason. For Tuchel. So is Hudson-Odoi the new Mason Mount? I'm not convinced by that. I think Mason Mount scored the goal again tonight and looks pretty good, isn't he, under Tuchel? We'll talk about Chelsea in just a second. But just to finish up on Arsenal, ahead of some fixtures that look like this, Leeds at home, Man City at home. So single and then single back-to-back in double get in 24 and 25.
Is this for Arsenal?
This is Arsenal. Is there anybody catching your eye, Arsenal?
No.
Isn't for me at the minute. I was maybe having a look at Saka. If Suchet gets the ban, maybe I'd have a look at Saka. Because
options.
Obviously you can score against Leeds, right? You can get at Leeds, no problem. But I think there's other options. I think I'd like Rafinha instead, for example.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Let's talk. We've only got time for a couple more of these games, Sam. Let's do your game then. Let's do Spurs 2, West Brom 0. And let's talk briefly about this game. And I do mean briefly, Sam from FPL Family. Kane back, Spurs back. Is it as simple as the title of this YouTube live stream suggests? Came back, Spurs back. That's what I called it.
Yeah.
Is it that simple?
Yes.
Because without him, you're rubbish, and with him, you're great. So what's going on? It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about Heung-min Son now, then?
Well, I'll keep him now.
You're going to keep Son because Kane's back.
Okay. So I know people think that I am just an idiot who loves Spurs, and that is sort of true. To be fair, that is true.
Yes. We all think that.
And that's fine. You can all think that because it's the truth. However, I do think, like, this time around, I honestly did believe that Kane would be back quickly. And then he was. And it was quite apparent over the last couple of days, particularly on Saturday, after the deadline passed when Mourinho, did you see it?
No.
Posted a photograph to Twitter and Instagram. I saw it on Instagram. Of the Spurs walk out onto the training ground with all the boots lined up, uh-huh. ready to be packed. And right at the front of the picture is Harry Kane's boots. Clearly visible and obvious. And I thought, bugger, I've made a mistake on my captain.
Yeah.
And it was in that moment that I thought...
He'll be back, he'll play, everything will be hunky-dory again.
Because this is not a big injury. This was a contact injury. But because it was on his ankle, we all went, Harry Kane's ankle. It wasn't. It's just bruised.
Okay.
And he's back. And the fact that he's back, you saw today, it made a massive difference. And it isn't just about him and his ability on a football field. In fact, it's not really about that at all. It's about his presence and what he does to the mentality of the rest of the side, who all stepped it up massively today.
Okay. Interesting stats again in the Fantasy Football Scout members area, I noticed. Top player for touches in the opponent's half this game week, Mr. Højbjerg. Top for passes, Mr. Højbjerg. Had a very, very good game, didn't he? Got the assist, I think, for Harry Kane's goal, if I'm not mistaken. Again, upped his game. I mean, the whole squad, and I thought Højbjerg in particular had a much better game than I've seen him in the last couple of weeks. Really, really, really good. Man City away next, so I don't think I'm going to be adding to Heung-min Son ahead of that game. But then it's West Ham away next, and then there's two really nice games in 26 and 27. Burnley at home, Crystal Palace at home before the London Derby against Arsenal the week after. So I don't know about investing before the Man City game, but after that, particularly if you've got a double in 26,
likely to be a double in 26.
It looks pretty good maybe to go back onto Harry Kane. Will you be doing that for the West Ham game, or are you going to wait for that double game week 26?
I might do it this week if Antonio's
out.
If Antonio's out, I'm probably going to do it. Look, I'm not going to lie. I probably will do it if Antonio's out. I hated it today. I loved it. I loved every second of seeing Harry Kane back in a Spurs shirt, and then I hated every second of it at the same time because he's everything I love about FPL. I love him. I love owning him. I just can't help it. And I'll probably bring him back in. But I actually think, and this, again, is probably a bit Spursy. However, I think that after the Manchester City game, potentially after West Ham as well for this one, there's scope for the defence.
That's what people want to know, Sam, because everyone's going to be, well, Son okay, Kane okay. Who else? Where else are you going to go?
Yeah, I'd go for a defender. If I was going to go... So post-West Ham and Man City, I think there's definitely scope for a Spurs defender in there, particularly if we get knocked out of the FA Cup. Because if we go out of the FA Cup this week, I mean, we better not go out of the FA Cup. But if we do, we'll play in 29. And if we play in 29, then having three Spurs going into 26 is really helpful if you're not free-hitting in 29.
Yeah.
It'll be really helpful. I mean, I hope we stay in the Cup, but...
Yeah,
it's there.
Player that impressed me against West Brom, but I would never pick him in FPL because he can't guarantee his starts. But Eric Lamella, I thought, had a really good game against West Brom. Very, very good.
But to be honest, he's been really good as he's come on the last couple of games. And I think for me, I'd be starting him. If I was Mourinho, I'd go, you've earned your calling, you play. And he was really good with him, if you notice, when he came off. But I think for me, if you're going with a third, yes, I really like Lamella today, but you're right, you can't guarantee start. But you can with Eric Dier. You will be able to with Reguilon when he's back, and he's due back in within the next week or so.
All right, well, listen, one person you ain't going to bank on is Gareth Bale. No show again for this game. Absolutely.
What do you mean he was there?
Well, did he come on?
He was there.
Sam, you're paying this guy $350,000 a week. You don't want him there. You want him winning games. it's not good enough that he just turns up. I don't get to work tomorrow morning and just sit there and say, right, I'm here. No, the expectation is I actually do something for my money.
Do you?
Excuse me. Absolutely shocking. West Brom, gone. I think Allardyce is not. He's not going to save him.
Yeah, but he's not playing Pereira today.
Don't want to talk about him.
What's that all about?
Don't want to talk about him. Wolves, nil, Leicester, nil. Very, very briefly, because we're running out of time. Thought Wolves played really well. Actually could have won the game. The young man, Fabio Silva, I think, towards the end of the game.
Great save by Schmeichel.
I must admit, when I first saw that, I just thought, you've got to bury that. I was like, you've got to save it. You've got to score. And then actually the replay was actually Kasper Schmeichel. That is an absolutely top draw save.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Vardy could have won it in like the 89th minute. So it could have gone either way that game. Owners of Leicester assets. I mean, James Justin again pulling out a 9-pointer. This kid is just absolutely brilliant. Would you still want to invest in Leicester attackers going forward? How are we feeling about the Madisons and the Barnes and the Vardys in particular now that he's back in the game?
Tell you a little secret. Before today's game, I was going to sell James Justin this week.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because Aston Villa kill me. So I was like, right, who can I lose? Southampton, I've got two of them.
You'd get rid of Walker Peters before you got rid of James Justin.
They've got them in double in 25. How can I get rid of one of them?
Can't get rid of James Justin. They've got Liverpool next, Leicester. Which,
well, yeah, but now I'm not too worried about that anymore.
Who knows what's going to happen there? I mean, us going to the King Power Stadium, I would not be selling James Justin ahead of that. Then they go away to Aston Villa, which, tricky game. Arsenal at home, Brighton away, Sheffield United at home. So the fixtures for Leicester in the medium term look all right.
Well, so in my head, Liverpool, Aston Villa, Arsenal, ahead of this week, my thinking was, I could lose James Justin for those three. I could bring in somebody to get me through the double. Maybe I could go Burnley this week and then switch to my Aston Villa defender for the week after. And then, once Southampton have played their double, I'll bring James Justin back in his place.
Yeah, sure.
So that was in my head. But now, having watched Liverpool, sorry Lee, I'm not sure I want to lose James Justin ahead of that next game. Aston Villa, that's a tough game, but I could bench him in that week. And then after that, Arsenal, they're not looking up to much either at the moment. So maybe I hold. And then after that, the fixtures look quite nice again.
Okay.
I'm really enjoying owning him. And I think, for me, I think Madison and Barnes and Tielemans, they had opportunities today. Okay, they didn't take them. But in another week, they can. They still missed Ndidi today once he's back, which hopefully will be for game week 24.
Mm-hmm.
That'll make a big difference to them too.
Absolutely. B is in the chat. Hey, B, from our patron, how are we doing? She is saying, guess who got rid of Justin for Shaw this week?
I mean, it's not that bad because Shaw got an assist at least, but...
It's okay. Don't worry. Shaw's a good pick. You might want to think about getting Justin back potentially for that game week 26 though, because Burnley and Crystal Palace back-to-back look pretty good to me. Max van der Hervel is saying, Justin for Koufal. Not sure I'd want to do that right now, although West Ham do have a fantastic fixture up next at home to Sheffield United. So maybe, but I wouldn't be selling Justin. There's people in the live chat that are like, I've had Justin since game week one. Absolutely no intention of selling. Looks really, really good. Sheffield United 1, Chelsea 2 is the only game we haven't discussed. We haven't watched it. Well, we watched the first half.
We watched till South till
up until the Rudiger own goal.
We saw the pen.
Jorginho with another penalty, second in two
added
game
the
weeks.
Hop and the skip back.
Did the little hop and the skip. Werner with two assists, although apparently when he went off, he had a bit of ice and a bit of strapping on his leg, apparently, Werner, so keep an eye on that.
What is it with all these injuries at the moment?
Well, it's because... What do you mean, what's with all these injuries? They're all playing every 48 hours, these guys. It's unbelievable. I'm surprised there's not more.
But from an FPL point of view, it's making it really hard. Callum Wilson going off injured
this
week.
Well, yes, quite.
It's actually hard to just pick at this rate.
Sam, no, trust me, no one is saying FPL's easy this year.
At this rate, we're all just going to be owning Watkins up top.
It could happen.
Although, I wouldn't mind if Bamford got the flu this week, because then Dominic Calvert-Lewin will come on for 12 points.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that either, to be honest with you. Let's have a quick update from our manager of the month. So these are the scores before this game week. As usual, I need to wait for the Leeds game to finish tomorrow. Then I'll do an update. But from the first game week that we had, game week 22, so go back to last game week, Dan Van Leerven got 100 last week, which was pretty damn good. In a single game week, Dan got a score of 100, which is brilliant. Former manager of the champion, David Coates, is in there with 97. Great. And Rajesh is in there with 95. So some big, big scores in our patron mini league. I can't call it a mini league. Our patron competition that I track offline. Can't call it a mini league. But Dan is right up there with 100 points. So well done, Dan. Absolutely all to play for, though, guys, because, of course, game week 22 was just the first of, I think, maybe four or five game weeks. And,
of course, there's so many doubles
there
in
there. There are doubles to go, so it is all to play for. But Dan is the early leader in our February Manager of the Month. And if you want to take part in our February Manager of the Month, it's not too late. You can go and check out patreon.com/FPL family, but when the next game week deadline closes, which I think is next Saturday,
yes,
that is when I will be closing entrance for the February Manager Month. So you've got a week or so, want to go and check us out, patreon.com/FPL family. If you want to go and support what we do over there, if you want bonus podcasts, if you want access to Slack and our chat community over there, if you want to go into our Manager of the Month competitions, like Bryce did here, and like the other guys that are here that have won all of these prizes, and like the ones we have on the wall here from our partner, kickingtheballs.com. Then take part in our Manager of the Month competition. Links, of course, in the description below. So once we finish the video here, go check us out over there. We'd love you to come and join us.
It is Saturday deadline, I just checked.
A Saturday deadline. So that is when I'll be finishing and stopping any more entrants after that deadline. So this is the last week, guys, to get involved in the February Manager of the Month over on Patreon if you want to go check us out over there. Now, Sam, let's talk about our game weeks. I'm going to go fast. I'm going to go first and fast because I want to get it over with. Absolutely. Well, just bad. Just really, really bad. 45 points. I've got Bamford and Dallas to go, so I'm hoping that kind of tops it up a little bit, although both of those guys are pretty highly owned, to be honest with you. 45 points. Rubbish, to be honest with you. Rubbish. Although, one decision or two decisions either way would have changed it massively. So, again, I wasn't really set on Antonio captain until kind of the dying embers of last week. I had it on Son for a long time, as you know, and then I saw that Spurs performance against, who was it, Chelsea? I went down to the FPL show in Uxbridge, watched the game with Gianni, and I just thought, I'm not captaining Son. And at that stage, there was no real feeling that Kane was going to come back.
No.
So I was like, I'm not captaining Son this game week, not having it. So I moved it to Antonio because I felt like it was a good week to maybe have a bit of a differential captain of something a bit different. I was going with the premiums for the last few weeks and they weren't coming off for me. So I thought, well, Antonio against Fulham, that looks quite good. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. So had I gone with my initial instinct, which was to go with Son, who I had it on most of the week, that would have been an extra, I don't know, 8 points maybe coming out of that. If I'd have gone with Calvert-Lewin and not Suchek, that's another 12 points. So I'm looking at another 20 points off the back of those two decisions. So listen, it's not a sob story. It's 45. It's a bad game week. But what I take from looking at my team is, apart from one or two changes, I feel like I've got the right people. I've got the right players in my team. I'm just making the wrong FPL decisions. I've made the wrong captaincy choice and I've picked the wrong players in my 11. Had I gone with Dominic Calvert-Lewin over Suchek, this game week would have looked a lot better. Kilman also with the 8 is kind of interesting. Because I think Willy Bolly, I think, is out for a few weeks. I saw that come out in the post-match from Wolves today. So maybe now Kilman gets his chance ahead of some reasonable-looking fixtures. They've got Southampton next, then Leeds, Newcastle and Aston Villa. So Wolves...
Who's playable? Definitely against
Kilman,
Southampton.
Maybe Kilman's playable now. I don't know. You know, I've not been playing him because he's been coming on for those one-point cameos that we hate in FPL. But maybe he starts to come back into my reckoning a little bit more. But Robertson, I think, based on our conversation that we had before, he's got to go. Yeah, he's got to go. I don't really want to hold him for the Leicester game. And then the Liverpool fixtures after that, it's the Merseyside derby after that, before it eases up a little bit with Sheffield United, Fulham and Wolves. But the next two look bad.
But also, your worst performances have come against the bottom clubs.
Yeah, if Sheffield United sit back, it's down to us to break them down. If Fulham sit back, we've got to break them down. And we've proved in the last few weeks that we're struggling to do that.
Yeah.
Interestingly, Robertson came off as well for Tsimikas in this game. It's unusual that Robertson doesn't play 90 minutes.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm just keeping an eye on that. I don't think there's an injury for Robertson, but I want to keep an eye on it.
He got his ankle stuck, didn't he?
Under Alisson for one of the goals. Yeah. So I just want to... I will be keeping an eye on Liverpool Twitter to see whether Robertson has an injury. If he hasn't... Whether he has or he hasn't, to be honest with you, he's going
to
go.
It's easier to go if he's got an injury, though.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. And to be honest, I don't know where I'm going to go to right now. Obviously, I'm going to wait for the FA Cup games to go. I totally hear you on the Villa thing for sure. But also West Ham, not having a West Ham defender a Kufau or a Creswell is killing me. And West Ham with Sheffield United up next, then it's Spurs and Man City. So that puts me off a little bit. And then Leeds and Man United. So after that Sheffield United game, I might not like the look of Kufau or Creswell.
But Creswell's got attacking returns.
But Creswell does get the assist. He does get the odd assist. So actually, 45 points. It's a red arrow. I've gone down 100k places in two game weeks. It's rubbish. I've gone from 70k to 173k. I need a change of fortune, guys, to be honest with you. I need a change of fortune. Your game week, when I looked at your team, I looked at it and I was like, well, it's exactly the same as mine.
No.
I was like, midfield and forwards and bench, it's exactly the same as mine. But what's come through for you is your Creswell and your Justin versus my Cancelo and Robertson. That's what's come through for you. And it's looking pretty good. 61, overall rank 74. I'm not sure what your previous overall rank was, but that feels about par for me.
It's green.
It's green, is it? Very good. Okay, good.
Yeah, I was at 79 at the start of this game week. So, to be honest, it's not been green. The whole way through, it's not been green. It's been a horrendous weekend where...
Two still to play, I should add, as well. Bamford and Dallas.
Yeah, two still to come. So, I feel all right about that. And like I said before, if Dominic fancies coming on for Bamford, if Bamford could,
wouldn't mind that at all.
Stay at home tomorrow, that'd be nice.
No chance that happens, by the way.
No, absolutely not. And much like you, the captaincy is an annoyance because mine sat on Sun until Wednesday night. And then...
Yeah, so what made you go for Antonio? Because, again,
we didn't talk about this.
It feels like you and I have had a conversation and we should both go Antonio. Neither of us had that conversation.
We had a very brief, and I mean very brief, conversation with Nathan, our manager of the month for January, after Lee recorded that interview with him, just to say hello and to coo over Nathan's little boy, Logan. And Nathan said, who are you captaining? And I told him, and Lee went, oh, so am I. And Nathan went, oh, so am I.
Yeah. And then I left. Between the three of us, we were like, yeah, that feels, we've all just agreed that we're going to go Antonio captain.
So I'll tell you how it came about for me. On Wednesday morning, I woke up and felt just, it was on Sun. And I was like, I feel just a bit mer about Spurs, mer about life. I'll move it to Fernandez.
Right.
So I moved it from Sun to Fernandez, and at that point, Antonio was my vice.
Oh, Nathan is in, by the way. Hey, Nathan. Very nice to see you.
And Fernandez was my captain, Antonio was my vice. And then I recorded the podcast on Thursday with James and the guys over there. Recorded that. And then I thought, I don't know.
Let's be different. Let's try something different.
I just thought, I don't know, I don't fancy Sun. I'm not convinced about Fernandez against Everton. I thought Everton might have a bit of a fight in him. And I thought, you know what? It's a good week for a differential. I'm going to go Antonio. Yeah. He's in the better form.
Yeah.
And I just went for it. And it didn't pay off. And it is what it is.
But having had the captaincy blame, to still be sitting on a green arrow is pretty good, right? If you look around the rest of your team, Salah, Fernandez, Gundogan, Justin Kressel, everyone except Pope and Suchet has come off for you.
And so Pope wasn't really there for this week anyway. I mean, it would have been a bonus to have got a clean sheet this week, but he's there for next week. Suchet is a frustration, and it honestly is. That's what I'm annoyed about, because I should have just left it alone, and then I'd have had DCL on rather than Suchet, and it would have made a difference. But the rest of them have performed... And I feel like I'm in quite a nice pace, particularly for the next coming up doubles, because I have a couple of Saints for the week after. I have a couple of Leeds for the week after as well. So I'm set for kind of 24 and 25. I'm going to tweak the edges, but I'm going to wait for the news on 26 because I want to prep. Whatever happens now between now and 26 needs to prep for 24, 25 and 26.
Lots and lots of prep and transfers and thinking to be done. No doubt about it. And because of that, you can find us on all the usual places where all of that thinking and prep will be going on. Have we got any FPL shows or any podcasts going on this week?
So I'm going on the FPL show this week. I feel like I've not done an FPL show for
a bit. You and Az are going on, aren't you?
I am
going
to be on with Az, which I am. I've never done a show with Az, so this will be quality. I'm really looking forward to it. You can catch me and Az on this week's FPL show on Thursday night, if you're not in the UK, or on Friday morning if you are in the UK.
Very good.
Plus there'll be a Scout the Game Week over on the FF Scout, Spotify, Deezer, wherever it is that you get your FF Scout podcasts, with Alex from FPL Chip Chat this week. So I'm looking forward to that one as well. We're recording that on Wednesday, just before Spurs play in the FA Cup.
Have you put out there yet your special project with the Premier League? Am I allowed to talk about that and the women in FPL?
Well, you just have.
I just have. Good. I've just announced that. We're not allowed to talk about that. Okay, very good.
No, I don't think we're not allowed to talk about it.
Right, okay, good.
I've been doing a special project with the Premier League about women.
Look
in
out
FPL.
For a special project that I'm not allowed to talk about, or neither of us are allowed to talk about women in FPL.
No, we're not allowed to talk about it. It's coming soon.
Talk about it then.
The last couple of weeks, I've done some Zoom calls with a couple of weeks ago with the community girls, with Kylie from the Three Amigos, with Holly from FF Community, and with Nim from FPL Nymphria. We did a little chat about women in FPL. And then last week, I sat in the opposite chair, which felt bizarre.
You were asking Jules
and
the questions.
I interviewed Jules and Kelly Summers and Olivia and Anita from the FPL Daily, which was so much fun. And honestly, I was like, How has this become my life that I now interview these? Like, honestly, but it was brilliant. So over the next couple of weeks, these will come out on the Premier League YouTube.
Sorry for announcing that. I didn't realise that was not supposed to come out.
That sort of thing
FPL family exclusive.
They'll be out on the Premier League socials and on the Premier League website over the next few weeks. And then once they're out on the Premier League, we will put out a longer form video of all of that good stuff on as an FPL Family X video on our channel.
Right here on the channel. We're allowed to have rights to that, are we?
Once it's gone out on the Premier League channel in short form, we'll have the longer one.
Flipping out, right. I didn't know that. That's very good.
But ladies, I mean, I'm not sure if we're supposed to have spoken about this or not, but I wasn't told I wasn't supposed to, so you...
It's announced.
And
it's announced. Sorry about that.
You shot your mouth out, so...
Sorry about that. Right. Anyway, guys, thank you for joining us. Hope you enjoyed this episode of FPL Family. Good luck with those of you with Leeds assets for tomorrow night.
Come on, Dallas.
Good luck the Dallas owners. Good luck the Bamford, the Rafinha owners. And we'll see you as usual this time next week when I'm losing track of what's happening. The FA Cup will have happened and we will be in the middle of a double game week, won't we?
Will we be in the middle or will it have...
I think we'll be in the middle of a double game week.
I don't know. Let's have a look.
As you're doing that, I'm going to do the usual.
Monday. Oh, no, of course it's a double. So, of course we'll be in the middle because it goes till Wednesday.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
of course. That's what I'm saying. We'll be in the middle of a double game week. Guys, so join us then next Sunday, 8:30, usual time for another FPL Family. If you're new around here, if it's your first time visiting the channel, we'd love for you to do a couple of things for us. One would be hit that subscribe button, hit the little notify bell as well. We've got something like we're honing in on about 17,000 subscribers, so we'd absolutely love those of you that are not subscribed to hit that subscribe button. We'd love you to do that. And leave us a like. It really helps us with the YouTube algorithms, helps us to get on the front page, helps us to spread the word about FPL Family. So if all of you guys would hit that like button before you go, we would really, really appreciate it. Well done this game week, guys. We will see you this time next week for another FPL Family. Until then, Green Arrow. See you later.
Bye, guys.